The government is not supposed to steam open your mail, but there's news that at least one big internet company was providing the steam that opened up email for the feds. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's more potentially damaging attention for Yahoo over the security of its email service, not because of a hack this time, but because of revelations that it scanned all incoming emails on behalf of the U.S. government. Here to help us unpack this is Marketplace's Jed Kim. Jed, give us a sense of scale here.
Well, I think what's rankling is the idea that everyone's email was being scanned, not just certain accounts or old messages. Also, the idea that Yahoo engineers wrote a special program to allow them to do it. That being said, this case doesn't appear to be exactly the same as past cases like the prison program revealed by Edward Snowden. Robert Frieden teaches telecommunications law at Penn State. He says it's probably too early to tell how damaging this will end up being to Yahoo, but there are key differences in the request that could help its case with users.
It was specific to a sequence of words or particular search terms, and it was pursuant to an order. So I think they really are significantly different. One was ongoing and the other one was very much ad hoc, where time may have been of the essence.
Yeah, we still don't know a lot of details about the order, why it was deemed necessary, what the terms were. Of course, we'll likely never know some of that.
Jed, what about maybe other companies involved?
Well, at this point, the scanning does seem pretty limited to Yahoo. Google and Microsoft have denied scanning emails for the government in this way, and Google says it never even got any such requests.
All right, Jed Kim, thank you. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments on a case of great interest to Wall Street banks, traders, lawyers, as well as the prosecutors and regulators keeping watch. It's the first insider trading case at the high court in nearly 20 years. When the ruling comes down, perhaps next year, it could make it harder or easier to prosecute some insider trading cases. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Salmon versus United States turns on whether it matters if the person who gives the tip gets paid for it. That didn't happen in this case. A lower court said it was still insider trading because the tipper gave the information to a family member. Vanderbilt Law School professor Amanda Rose explains the potential consequences for prosecutors if the Supremes disagree.
They're going to have a harder time proving their cases, and there's going to be cases that they probably just won't prosecute because it will be difficult for them to win.
The ruling matters because there are many cases where people with insider information don't get paid. Some may just want to help a relative. The high court could say that's definitely insider trading. Mixed signals from lower courts on this make for high stakes here, explains Indiana University law professor Donna Nagy.
The Supreme Court has the opportunity to set out a new paradigm of sorts, if it wishes to, for generations to come.
If the court delivers a more expansive definition of insider trading, that'll empower those charged with policing Wall Street. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
The typical or median house or apartment in America costs about $280,000, but there are some markets like Detroit where prices are still dramatically below that, and the typical home there runs about $40,000. The prospect of buying that low and either renting out the property or flipping it for a profit has drawn a lot of overseas investors to Detroit. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reports.
My tour guide here is busy.
My name is Rob Funk, F-U-N-K, like Uptown Funk You Up. I just sell real estate.
We're driving to see a house he's selling on Detroit's east side.
There are a lot of people competing for these houses. Like today, I had a guy in from Germany, and I was showing him houses today.
And he sees more and more people from overseas, the UK, China, Indonesia. This one he showed to the German guy is two stories, solid brick, with lots of detail work inside.
I personally love this house. It's got a den here. Look at the wood doors are still intact.
But it also doesn't have heat and needs a new roof.
How much is it for sale for?
$9,900.
The buyer might fix it up and flip it, but local investors also buy up homes in foreclosure auctions and resell them to overseas investors to rent out, promising a 10, 15, sometimes 20% return on investment.
And that seems like a very attractive return when government bonds give you 1.5%.
Stan Van Nieuwenberg is a professor of real estate finance at New York University. He says investors are drawn to Detroit's rock-bottom real estate prices. Still, it's no secret that this is all speculation.
People are essentially gambling for, you know, the resurrection of Detroit.
And it means a growing number of landlords in Detroit are the definition of absentee. Tanika Sanford's on the other side of that situation. She shows me the back hall of her three-bedroom house, which she rents for $750 a month.
This right here, the water leaks from out here because there's a hole in the ceiling. So do you see how the water buckles?
The ceiling is waterlogged. Doesn't come on
at all. When it rains, it pours.
It pours literally inside the house. She says she's asked the managers to fix a number of problems, and they haven't even dropped by. The owners are in Taiwan.
So I've never been in contact with them directly or nothing. It's just like a third party.
The owners bumped $50 off her rent, but doing more might cut too deep into their returns. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Another story we're following, tighter regulation is on the way for mobile apps that help you pay for things. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has announced new rules for prepaid cards, but the rules also cover apps like Venmo, a social media-style way for people to share the cost of cab fare, rent, or a restaurant bill. Venmo's owned by PayPal. Digital wallets, including Google's, could also have more obligations to give money back when it's stolen, be clearer about fees, and to deal with errors more quickly. The app companies tried and failed to get exemptions for themselves from these rules that go into effect 1 year from now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.